What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 41 of Value Town. I'm your host, Chanman V, and joining me today, as always, is Trump, my co-host. And we've got a special guest today. We've got Liquid Amaz here joining us to talk some Naxxramas military quarters with us. Welcome, Amaz.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Yeah, man, it's been a while since we had you on, so it's definitely great to have you on again, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, another quarter release today. So, you know, lots to talk about. That's the great thing about these weeks, or at least the last couple weeks and then the next couple, is that we've got plenty to talk about, at least from the standpoint of new content. Yeah, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some meta talk like we always do. And then we got a couple of fun decks to talk about, too. We'll have some Q&A with you guys. Go ahead and tweet your questions to @ChamMV, and we'll get to as many as we can at the end of the show. But okay, military quarters. So, what'd you guys think? Was it harder than the last two? I guess generally, just finishing it, or did you think it was easier? Trump, what'd you think?
Oh, it was really hard. Toughest quarter so far. That doesn't mean it was the best, though. I liked last week's quite a bit more. It seemed like the bosses were more flavorful. These bosses, like Gothic, just... Gothic's hero power just felt like blatant cheatery.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Right. There's not much you can do to counter one mana, gain mana, draw cards. And I mean, I like the mechanic of them dying and then coming to your side. You know, the hero power, it's like, yeah. The final boss, I thought that one was really flavorful and nice.
Yeah. Mons?
Yeah, I enjoyed this week's a bit more. The first boss was very easy. I actually one-shot it. It was super easy. But yeah, Gothic was like, sometimes you just get screwed over. Like, if he has, like, a perfect opening, which he always does.
Yeah.
If it's Deathspeaker Coin Death Charger or something like that. And you just, yeah, it's just brutal. And the Horseman, I don't know. It's like, I play Priest versus all of them, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it seems like every time I don't start with Pain, I get crushed. Because they have, like, what, 6 damage the first turn and then 8 damage the next turn.
Yeah.
Then you can't really do anything. You need something. So, yeah. I think the hardest quarter is still the second for me, though. The one that kills everything and spawns 5/5 skeletons. That one's like, yeah, I think that's a bit harder.
That was the first boss, right, in the last one?
Yeah, the first one in the second quarter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was definitely tough, too. Yeah, this one, yeah, I thought the the last, you know, just the horseman was interesting. But, like you said, I thought the rest of them were you know, just kind of says so. Yeah, that hero power that gives you a card, that just gives you a card and a mana crystal, or gives him a mana crystal, is just insane. So you finished it all with Priest?
Oh, yeah.
I'm
supposed to do Nax, like, kill all heroic bosses with just Priest and see how it goes. So far, it's been okay. And it's good because Priest has all these gimmicky things like silence or zero, you know, remove a minion for 2 or 3, you know. I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Trump, what did you finish the bosses with?
I did 2 of the 3 with Priest. Mm-hmm. Priest turns out to be pretty good against these bosses in general. And I learned the other day that, not while I was doing it, but it's a good tactic against Resuvius to not steal on the first turn and then buff his guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Then you steal them because they actually don't have summoning sickness when you steal them, so you can attack right away.
Oh.
So.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that either. That's huge.
That's
actually
pro tips. So I did Priest for Resuvius and the Horseman because Shadow Word Pain is OP. And against Gothic, I used Shaman.
Okay.
Just like the challenge, the class challenge. Right.
Yeah, what did I use? I used I'm trying to think of what I used for the first one. I definitely used Freeze Mage for one of them. And then I used Priest for the last one for sure, just because of Cabal and Shadow Word Pain. And then I can't remember what I used for the first one, actually. I can't remember. It might have been Shaman, actually. But yeah, definitely some good mix in there. What did you think of the class challenges?
Fun. They're okay. I mean, the Warlock one was like, you know, you're trying deep demons, right? You kind of like expect that deck going to be there. But the Shaman was fun, I think, especially how you can summon the new 11/11, the Thaddeus, So like the first time I did the shaman one, I was like, oh, I saw the Fugin, right? And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna stall out until I summon the 11-11.
Nice. Yeah. I never got a chance to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's good. Yeah, the Warlock one was kind of neat because it, I don't know, I felt like it gave you a real sense of how, like, what Void Caller is going to be like, right? At least just at its best, because the entire deck was very much demons. I think I did get a Jiraxxus to come out whenever I did it. It was kind of nice. Didn't get Shadow Ward Pain, too. That would really, really suck if it did.
The thing is, with the Warlock challenge, you're not really facing against a real deck. It's like the Four Horsemen. It's like a gimmick deck.
Yeah.
So you can't really tell if that's good, but then it gives you some sort of idea to like, oh, Void Caller, you know, maybe it's used this way in Constructed. I still haven't seen a good Void Caller deck just yet, but then I'm sure they'll fix something up.
I haven't seen one yet on the ladder. Have you guys actually run into one?
I haven't, but I think the people are experimenting with the Shaman more.
I think everybody.
Just, like, the crazy combos and whatnot.
Yeah, I guess it's just a lot more fun right now.
Yep.
But good stuff. Yeah, the
Melter. I actually ran into one of those Warlocky ones with the Void Caller, and it actually completely destroyed me.
It was, what did he get?
Yeah. I mean, when your 3/4 gets a 6/6 when it dies, and you can choose when to like, you can choose how to send that to die, then that's really strong.
Yeah,
that's true. Getting a 6/6 is definitely
It is
nice.
High variance, though, because you have to have all the pieces, but I think it's got possibilities.
I mean, 3/4s. It's a 4, right? I forget. Is it a Void Caller?
Yeah,
it's a 4.
It's a
4, yeah. Yeah, so it's...
It's a quite... 3?
God, it feels like Dark Holt is a 3/4. I mean, jeez. Really, really good. Good stuff, though. I mean, Military Quarter, again, you know, another release, so that's, you know, hope. I can't wait for the next week and see how that goes. But this release was very smooth. I mean, I was able to get it like the instant it came out. So that was definitely, kudos for Blizzard for resolving all those issues they had last week.
Just hope that the, people who got their gold kind of like stops, got them back, you know,
I think they were going to make sure everybody that either paid or spent their gold was going to get everything back. So I'm not sure how that, I'm sure that's probably either resolved or getting resolved right now.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the new cards, though. It's kind of, we'll cross that into some meta talk, too. Just what you guys have been seeing on the ladder. So, Spectral Knight, right? That was definitely one of the cards that a lot of people were looking forward to this week. Now that we have Loatheb and Spectral Knight, I think those two cards, a lot of people are wanting to add to their decks or try it out. Have you gotten a chance to try out Spectral Knight at all? Amaz?
Oh, me. Okay. Yeah. I faced a lot of Spectral Knights on ladder, and it's quite interesting because at first you go like, oh my god, it's a fairy dragon on crack, and it's like so OP,
yeah.
Right? You can't interact with it a lot. But the games I played in it, it didn't feel like it's super good. Because the thing is, you're trading, this is a power, right? You're trading a different power for a different power, because this power doesn't affect anything. It just means that it's not really removable.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you have to wonder, why don't you play Loatheb instead? Because Loatheb is not removable as well, because, you know, you stop their spells. It's kind of 6 on the board. And, like, how I view right now is just Loatheb is just generally better. If you do taunt up the Spectral Knights, it could be really good, especially against the Miracle. But even that is really hard to pull off. Like, yeah. I tried to make a Druid deck work with it, like a Watcher Druid with the Spectral Knight. But it didn't go too well, so I guess there's still more things that can change. There's many more things.
Trump, what'd you think?
Well, I haven't used them in decks, and I've mainly been playing decks which run some amount of minions at least, so I haven't had any problems with it. It's usually just been a 4/6. That said, I know I can understand how it can be really good against spell-heavy decks such as Miracle. So,
yeah,
I don't know yet, but I suspect it's good, but not as good as people are hyping it up to be.
Yeah,
like Amaz said, Loatheb is also good, and I actually still think it's not as good as it's hyped up to be, even though you see it a lot now.
Yeah, I'd agree too. Loatheb just has more coverage too, and actually, I think people were talking about running both, you know, before these were actually released, and I just can't see it fitting, you know, like fitting both of them in a deck right now. But maybe down in the future, who knows? I mean,
yeah, and in Arena, it's not that good either, because it's just like a 4/6.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's good for value, but the thing is, like, there's a, what is that called? The Smiteful Smith, yeah? like that's a 4/6, and the power sometimes doesn't even work. So it's like, yeah, it's okay, but I think there are better 5 drops up there.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, other cards. Let's see. Well, Baron, right? Baron's been the one a lot of people have been experimenting with, especially with Shaman. Any cool findings with Baron, you guys? Trump?
Well, I mean, it fit into the deck I expected it to. Well, it fit into one of the two, which mm-hmm. is basically you put it with the best death rattles, the Karen and the Sylvanas, and you see what happens. I suspected that wouldn't work, but apparently it's been experimented with, and like I was saying, you gotta see how it pans out. I still don't think it'll work, but we'll see.
Amaz, what did you think?
Yeah, it's definitely very sticky minion. I played Priest a lot, and when I first saw that card, I was like, oh, this is such a shit card, because it just gets removed, right? But right. I play Priest a lot, and then I go like, okay, if you play something else, you have to kind of devote 7 health, it's like 7 damage to it, if you want to remove it. So in that sense, it's really good. And I mean, but then right now, I think because the fourth quarter is not released yet, there are not a lot of death routers you want to double up. So it's not that strong right now, but I would reconsider it after the next week is out.
after what, Zombie Chow's out, and what else?
Dude, you're putting for 10? That's crazy.
I know, right? Oh man, it's going to be so good. Yeah, I mean, the 7, I mean, it's pretty hard to actually remove a 1/7 by just, like, I guess, without actually having a spell that, you know, it's like a single target removal type of spell. But if somebody has to polymorph or has to hex it, that's probably a good thing, right? I mean, having your, I mean, Baron, I mean,
well,
having them have
like
to spend it on
there's, two ways of playing it, right? Yeah. The first way is to set it on the board and then put your stuff, and hopefully, in that case, yeah. Your strategy is like, okay, maybe they're going to spend 7 damage or remove on it, which is good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
It's like a Mobishan Warden with Spell Taunt or whatever you can do. The second one is you put a lot of Death Routers on the board, and then you whack them in. Mm-hmm. And that, you're just using the effect, and you're not using the body.
Right.
So I guess in that way, it's kind of flexible, but still, it's not really flexible. I don't know. I don't really like it currently, but I'll once again, for the next week, it might be better.
Cool. See, any other cards that are... Well, we talked about the Void Color a little bit. I think that's... There's another card, right? For sure. Let me
see. Trump's favorite card.
Right. Oh, boy.
Oh, the Death Lord, right?
Death Lord.
Yep. Yeah, the Death Lord. So, well, we're gonna talk about a priest deck that Trump's in a few minutes here with the Death Lord. But generally speaking, what do you guys think of it, Trump?
It seems like everything I had hoped for against aggro decks such as Zoo, and even against faster decks, and as expected. It's backfired a few times also. So it still needs to be tested a few times to see whether or not it's actually any good. I mean, I could, like I said when I was playing it yesterday, I could see myself in a few days or a week cutting it and being like, wow, this card is total garbage. But right now, it seems like it's reasonable.
Has it backfired for you against Zoo? Or are
it
you
hasn't
talking
backfired
about just
against Zoo yet. It seems like when I play it against Zoo, they have to 3 for... won themselves against it.
Right. That's just pretty awesome. Amaz, have you tried it at all?
I haven't tried it personally because I think it's really, really bad against certain matchups. For example, it's bad against things that remove it outright, like Warrior and Hunter and stuff like that. Like, it just removes it outright. But it could be really good. I think it's really good against Druids in a certain point because then if you pull out something that has a choose one or something, they don't activate it. So if you pull out Drift the Claw, it's a 4/4.
Yeah, yeah.
Pull out Keeper of the Grove, they don't do anything of it, you know. It's not bad. But if you pull out something that can just stay on the board, it's really bad. So
I was thinking that too. But it turns out that when the Druid pulls out a 4/4 or a 5/5, it's still really bad.
It depends on which deck you use it in, right? I mean, if you have like a more control type, you can remove it and they just lost that battle cry. It's quite good in a sense, you could argue, but yeah, it's mm-hmm. bad enough in a lot in certain matchups that I don't think it's worth using right now.
Yeah, well, that's like you said, I feel like it was good, like Trump said, it was going to just help with Zoo right now. And speaking of Zoo, so we're gonna talk about that meta. You know, there's been a lot of talk about just Zoo running rampant for at least the last week or two. I haven't been hearing it quite as much this last week, but what do you guys think of Zoo right now? Is it too powerful, just about right, necessary? I don't know. What do you guys think? Amaz?
Zoo is still Zoo, okay? It's very relevant. It can just beat up anything with, like, best draws, like a Doomguardian 5, you know, Soulfire on whatever. So, yeah, it's still really strong. The new cards didn't really help us Zoo that much, so that's why you don't see Zoo as much, because mm-hmm. people like to experiment with new things.
Yep.
But, like, with all the buffing, with all the eggs and the spiders, everything that sticks, it's quite crazy.
Trump, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this week has somehow been sort of a rest in peace Zoo. It's like a Zoo ceasefire for the moment. For the first week since Nax has come out, Zoo has not been the most played class that I've been up against.
Right.
And it's actually been the Hunter is the flavor of the week.
Yeah, why is the Hunter, especially this week? I mean, there wasn't anything that came out that helped Hunter this week, I don't believe.
I think it's it's at the end of the last week and then carry overing to this week.
Okay. Have both of you guys played the Hunter much?
I play the Hunter a lot, yeah. You just really... I haven't had a King Crush yet.
I haven't either, man.
I have, like, West Spinner draw me West Spinners, and that West Spinner drew me a West Spinner. Yeah, that was the best one I got, I guess. Like, it's not bad, right? If you think about it, if it's a 1-1 that returns to hand after it dies.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Like, no, it's actually pretty... It's,
I guess.
Yeah, right? it's not bad at all.
It's a better Paladin hero power, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I guess everybody wants to pull out that stuff. And it's actually a really good card by itself. Because, for example, if it whiffs, you still get a minion. And it gives you something crazy, like a 5-drop or a 6-drop. Mm-hmm. And all 5-drops and 6-drop beasts are really good. And then you, like, load the game. So it's like a... It's kind of like a thought steal where if it misses, it's fine, but if it hits, it's really good.
It's kind of nice even when you like you play turn one, you run it into something, and then it gives you a turn two play too. Sometimes, you know, like a croc or something that you might not have had. So, yeah, it's turned out to be a lot better than I thought it was going to be. The web spinner. So it's really cool.
I saw the card, I was like, oh my god, this card is really bad. And then I was like, wait, it doesn't draw cards from your deck? Oh, it's insane. Because any cards that don't draw cards from your own deck is insane. So I think with Duplicate and with the Mad Scientist out, that deck also is going to be very viable.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, that's an interesting one too. I guess if you only run Duplicate, right? So the Mad Scientist is guaranteed to equip the duplicate.
I'm just very like, this week is cool and all, okay? Like, there are a lot of cards, but I am very excited about week four.
Week four is just crazy. Because Chao comes out, Death Bite comes out, Undertaker comes out,
Dark Cultist
comes out. Yeah, so next week is just gonna be insane. We're talking about that. That ceasefire with the Zoo, I think, is gonna stop too. I think once Undertaker comes out, it's gonna be a lot of Zoo and
it's gonna be terrible.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Anything else you guys have seen in the meta like this week that's worth noting or something that's changed a bit? Trump? Anything?
I'd say just the big thing is the Hunter.
Just the Hunter. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And Druids. Druids with special knights. They're trying that out, but it's not really working too much. I don't know. Because your 5-drops are already so filled, right? With Druid of the Claw and Azure Drake.
Yeah.
Your 5s is like very clunky already, so... I think it's good to experiment with it. But I think at the end, they're just going to go back to their regular 5s.
Yeah. I mean, Druids were the one class that actually had 5s before all this. So they were in decent shape from that standpoint. All right. Well, why don't we talk about some decks? Let's go over to the deck segment here. And we've got a Priest deck and we've got a Shaman deck. So let's talk. Well, the Shaman deck, a lot of people have been... Let's talk about the Priest deck first, and then we'll go into the Shaman deck here. So... the Priest deck is, you know, a deck that Trump actually put together, surprisingly, given that Maz is our Priest guy normally. But Trump, talk to us a little bit about, I guess, the Death Lords here, and I guess what you replaced with it.
Okay, well, I made sure to take a good amount of inspiration from Maz. There aren't that many Priest resources out there, But at the core, this is a lot of the priest control that was kind of pioneered by Amaz. So the only real... Like, the big change here is the addition of two Death Lords, and I'm not entirely sure what version Amaz is running right now, but... and also there's a third Cabal Shadow... A second Cabal Shadow Priest, so...
Third one, wow.
I think three would be a little horsemen, too man. Many. Two is probably one more than Amaz currently plays. I know I've seen him on stream with Shadowward Pain of it sometimes, Mind Blast sometimes, Silence sometimes. I'm not entirely sure what his most recent is, but... instead of a Shadowward Pain, I've got a Cabal Shadow Priest. I think it hits a good amount of targets. Mm-hmm. And the Death Lords are there to embrace the new card and to experiment with it. It's a card that I'm not entirely sure on yet, but seems really good in Priest because you can heal it.
Yeah. I mean, three, too. Especially, you know, like 10 stats for three is, like, amazing, too. Does it usually stick around on the board for... like a long time, or do you only find it like maybe two turns or something like that?
It seems like I play in one of two games. In one situation, it sticks around for a very long time mm-hmm. and actually never dies, and I just win by crushing the opponent 30 nice. Health against zero. In the nice. Other world, it just gets killed, and then they get something... I mean, sometimes they get something good, sometimes they get a 1-1. I'm looking at you, Hunters. A 1-1, like, web spinner. But even in those cases where they get a 1-1, if they killed it efficiently, they're doing pretty well. So it's unknown. And also, furthermore, now there's a lot of three spots in this deck. Like, I really wanted to put in the second Earthen Ring Farseer, but mm-hmm. including two Death Lords means, like, oh, okay, the three slot is pretty contested. When the Dark Cultist comes out, I don't know what's going to happen to this three slot. Maybe the Death Lords will just get removed for the Dark Cultist. That makes the most sense.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, actually. Amaz, what do you think about Death Lord and Priest and you know, just this deck right here?
Yeah, well, first of all, when I saw Death Lord, I was like, oh, Divine Spirit, Inner Fire combo. Oh,
yeah, right? That's what so I was thinking,
good.
Too.
But I tested it, it's not that good, so I'm just going to wait for Dark Cultist to come out, because if you have Dark Cultist and Death Lord and all these high health minions, it might work out. So I'm going to try that when the Dark Cultist comes out. For this specific deck, I can imagine the Death Lords, including Death Lords, would improve the Miracle matchup by actually quite a lot. Because the thing of Death Lords is they pull your pull stuff from your opponent's deck, right? So I haven't sure if that happened to you, Trump. Did you pull out the Lyra by any chance with the Death Lord and you can like just kill
oh,
it?
That'd
like,
be awesome,
stuff,
yeah.
Right? You know, stuff like that is really good, and also all the miracle minions, they have to be played from hand to be able to do something, so I think that's really good. It does improve the Zoo matchup, but the thing is, Priest is already really good against Zoo, and if you're cutting a Shadow or Pain and stuff like that, then it's kind of like you're replacing one good card against Zoo of another. So it's like sure, why not? But why I don't think that's a very good choice is that you kind of shoot yourself in the foot against other matchups, right? So if you play against Warrior, and there's a lot of Paladins too, these days too, mm-hmm. Paladin or Hunter, it's just not as good. It doesn't perform as well as, like, for say, Pain, right? Pain against Warriors is, like, really, really good. Against Paladin is really, really good. It hits an Aldor or a Kodo. So, yeah. I mean, it's good to experiment with it. So, yeah. I would say that Deathlord is good against Druids and Miracles. It's mm-hmm. the same against Zoo, and the other matchups is a bit worse.
Okay, I mean, I'd go as far as to say that Death Lord might be the best card against Zoo. So, it's true, Shadowward Pain is good against Zoo, and you're replacing that with Death Lord, but Death Lord is like, you play that against Zoo, and it almost feels like you just win if you get that on turn three. It's that good. And currently, unfortunately, there's no super aggro decks, but if there were, Death Lord would be super good. So maybe this is just not the best time for it. One of the big concerns is I haven't faced very many Paladins and Warriors. However, the Hunter has been quite popular, and they have a few really easy ways to kill it. The Nightmare is the Coda, and then there's also the Hunter's Mark and the Deadly Shot. So against that, like, Death Lord isn't that exciting. On the bright side, the stuff they get from the Death Lord isn't that good either.
Right.
Yeah, probably he's not as bad as you know, sometimes you would think. Okay, well, that, I mean, that's definitely cool. I haven't gotten a chance to try out Deathlord, so that's definitely one of the things that was on my list, too. But let's talk about the Shaman now. The Shaman, I think you've been seeing it a lot. We've been seeing stuff on Reddit popping up with dream scenarios, you know, with Leroy or Earth Elemental and that sort of bit. But let's talk about this one. This one was actually created from Amaz, and it does have all those flavors. It has an Ancestral Spirit, Reincarnate, Baron flavor to it. So talk to us a little bit about it, this, Amaz.
So, yeah, basically, what the Shaman wants to accomplish is go crazy combos. It's kind of like a Miracle Shaman, right? With Baron Rivendare. And then Baron Rivendare activates off all Death Rattles, including Ancestral Spirit. And then it gets kind of crazy from there. There's a lot of Shamans out there who are testing this combo. And right now, I think it's like a Holy Grail quest to find the perfect balance between greediness and like being consistent, right?
Right.
You can go as greedy as go like, oh, you get two Earth Elementals. And then when you Ancestral Spirit, put the two Ancestral Spirits on the same Earth Elemental, and you Faceless it. And then when they die, you get six Earth Elementals, and you put a Baron River there, and you don't even know what's happening. So, yeah. But then, of course, if you draw them early game, you're, like, sitting there for four turns, and you probably die. So, yeah, people are just experimenting to see what's the most consistent way of building the deck while still, you know, getting to that point.
Yeah, definitely. The question is, how can you fit it into that Shaman, right? Because Shaman's always been very refined from the standpoint of being very hard to even switch out certain, you know, just even one or two cards to make it, just to continue its efficiency. Trump, what do you think of this deck?
It's about what I would have expected to see. Mm-hmm. It's got that Baron Rivendare with the biggest and baddest Death Rattles, and one Reincarnate, like sometimes you see two. I actually haven't encountered this deck, and I would be very scared to run this deck because it feels inconsistent. You might have more experience with this, Chanman, since I know that you were casting Deck Wars, and one of the players actually pulled this out the day the set got released, which is incredible to me. Why don't you tell us a bit about that and what happened?
Well, I mean, Dark Wanix actually pulled it out, but he didn't actually have the dream scenario, unfortunately for him. And he had Reincarnates, he had Baron, he didn't run Ancestral Spirit, so no Earth Elementals, because I think Ancestral Spirit, you know, with like the Crusher Shaman, right, runs really well with Earth Elementals and other minions in that kind of deck. So he ran in Reincarnate, but he didn't end up getting Karen or Sylvanas, right, which is the, you know, kind of the dream scenario or the optimal scenarios. So didn't actually run into that, but, you know, he did... I don't even think he even had Baron. He just had really bad luck, so we didn't really get a chance to see that deck at its best, unfortunately. But I have played it. I've played more of the Reincarnate focused deck, more so than Ancestral Spirit. So more just Karen and Sylvanas, and it's felt really good, quite honestly. Like the even just one Reincarnate with a Karen is like pretty awesome value. You know, if you just remove something and then run Reincarnate, then you're essentially, you know, creating a new one and then just like losing the remainder health of that Karen, right? Which is really nice. And then Sylvanas can steal two things. So I think that subtle kind of way of playing Reincarnate, I could see. But this kind of big type of investment into the crazy, you know, finishing type of move, I haven't quite seen a really great way to fit that in yet. I almost think it needs to be, like, the deck has to be pretty different than what we've seen with Shaman to be able to even do that.
Well, actually, it's funny because, you know, the first gen Miracle Rose only ran Auctioneer, right? The first generation. Mm-hmm. And then it somehow evolved to include more minions, like even the Gnomish Inventor, the Azure Drake and stuff like that, right? So I just, you know, I would give this deck a little bit more time.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
What
it
evolves to. But then I have, like, I want to say something about the Reincarnate spell. I think it's one of the best design cards right now. Because, like, right now, the base is set, right? We have all the base cards. We have all the cards that have value and whatnot. They do battle cards and whatnot. We need some more of these niche cards that have, like, very high... I don't even know what the card term is, like a high skill cap. Because Reincarnate does things that you don't expect them to. And then sometimes you don't know why you even want to run it. For example, what I look at Reincarnate is basically the whole set's Death Rattle. So Reincarnate can read, summon a 4/4 Nerubian. Summon a 4/5 Bane, you know, take control of a random minion, right? It can also read, remove your buffs from your opponent's board. Like, for example, someone put a Houndmaster on a beast before, and I used Reincarnate, and it was gone. and then I can smash for the win, you know, stuff like that.
It's a silence, I think, basically.
Yeah, it's basically a pseudo silence. Yeah. So I think Hearthstone can do well with more of these cards that, you know, on the face, like on the text, it's really, really simple, but then it has a lot of interactions.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Trump, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, one of my favorite cards in the set is Death Ward, which is almost exactly like that. You have to know when to play it, when it'll be disastrous, and I think it's one of those cards where it's a high risk, and it's not even... Like, this is one of those cards that I can't even evaluate yet, which is good for a card when it's hard to evaluate. And kudos, because there are quite a few of those in this Naxxramas set that aren't just like, oh, this card is obviously good or this card is obviously bad. There's some that are questionable, and that's partly why it's just being run right now, just to test it out. See how it goes.
I would say Reincarnate is very high risk, because it only works if you have a Death Rattle on the board or if your opponent has a buff. Like, that doesn't happen a lot. So it's kind of a high-risk card. So that's why I only included one, because it's like it sits there in your hand and does nothing. It needs something else to activate it.
Yeah, definitely. And Reincarnate, you know, some people have been using Reincarnate with, like, Leeroy and that sort of bit, but Reincarnate with Leeroy is, like, the same as, like, Wind Fury. So it's not as special in that particular case, right?
Yeah, it's more like a Shadow Step if you compare it like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's a Shadow Step that doesn't work with your other minions. So, once again, it's like very high risk, right? I mean, sure, first Harvest Golem and whatnot, do you really want that silly 2-1, you know?
That's true. That's definitely true. All right, well, it would be nice to see some more Earth Elementals, though. I mean, that's one card that's been always very susceptible to two cards, Black Knight and BGH. And so we haven't seen it as much. But, you know, with Ancestral Spirit and Baron, maybe we'll see it some more. And that'd be really nice, because I feel like that's always been one of the most powerful Shaman cards that's never been used, because of just that weakness it has, which is just damage, right? The damage being 7. If it was 6, it'd be probably amazing. It would just be amazing. Okay, well, anyways, some more decks, guys. You know, those of you watching, just try these out, man. I highly encourage you to try out the Shaman decks, just because it's a lot of fun to mess around with those things, and just to get a better feel for the Reincarnate card and just how the Death Rattle, you know, just synergizing with Death Rattle and that sort of thing. Really, really fun. Well, okay, why don't we kind of just blew through those, man. Why don't we just take some questions? I think the viewers always have some awesome questions for us. Let's see... kind of just blew through those, man. Why don't we just take some questions? I think the viewers always have some awesome questions for us. Let's see. For those of you that haven't tweeted your questions yet, go ahead and tweet it to @ChainManV, and we'll read out as many as we can. All right, so It's Chris Thomas says, what are some unusual cards which work with Miracle? I guess maybe some non-traditional cards that maybe you guys have thought about, maybe brainstormed about and just haven't gotten a chance. I don't know. Any of you guys? Either of you guys have any?
Yeah. So there was a guy named Freegold who actually came up with this. He's come up with quite a few variations on it, and one of them he posted a guide on, which I found really interesting. He went around Wisp and Mana Addict and Questing Adventure Two Conceals, and then you would just play those, and you would play the Questing Adventure, the Wisp, the Mana Addict, you would conceal, and then the next turn you would kill them or something. Or you would play the Mana Addict, and then you would Shadow Step it. And I think I saw this on your VODs before I'm on.
It happened to me.
Yeah. So you just play the Mana Addict, and you Shadow Step it, and it seems like a ridiculous move. But then the next turn you play it again, and then you play another Mana Addict, and then you conceal them. Or you play Gazan Engineer or some mix of Questing Adventure and Wisp, and then you conceal them, and then you hit the next turn for pretty much lethal. So... it's pretty flexible. I've also run into one Miracle Rogue deck which ran Violet Teacher kind of as a side win condition or just as a stable card. So, pretty interesting things.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. I have run into that Mana Addict Questing Adventure Rogue before. It's pretty brutal. Amaz, any I guess, unusual cards or untraditional cards?
Before that, yeah, it happened to me. He Shadow Stepped his Mana Addict at turn 4. He played it and Shadow Stepped it, and I was like, what the heck is happening? Like, okay. And then he put Auctioneer, Mana Addict for 0, and then concealed it, right? And then he then put, like, you know, 7 spells or something and just killed it. But yeah, that was crazy. But in the Miracle deck, I guess you can put in Lotheb, because Lotheb is just yep. dumb, right? Mm-hmm. You're still just trying to stall your opponent's turn. And the other card, which is might be good, is actually the Haha, the 2-1 for 1 that has charge when you have a weapon, right? Because if you want to beat the Hunter matchup a bit more, you can proc the traps that way, and then you can go in. So, yeah, oh. the 2-1 might see a comeback if there's a lot of Hunters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's really smart. Let's see, next one. Sam Walton, what's the best Naxx card, and why is it Baron Rivendare? Okay, so I guess each of you guys, like, what's your, like, what in your opinion, what is the best Naxx card? Amaz?
For now, probably Nerubian Egg. Hmm. Probably. Okay. I want to say it's Dark Cultist, but I haven't tried it. I don't even know how good it is, but... like, on paper, it's crazy, right? But it's mm-hmm. always the practicality that counts.
Yeah. Trump?
Sorry, you took my answer. I'm also going to give Nerubian Egg. Yeah. It's like a 4-6 for 2. Wow. And I like the design of the card because it's a card, like Amos said earlier, it doesn't stand alone, so you have to use other cards with it. This one happens to be relatively simpler to use because it fits into a deck already so well, but the idea is good. And it's also been fitting into decks that you wouldn't necessarily expect it to, such as Handlock, such as Shaman. I mean, those are less obvious fits, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. Yeah, the Nerubian Egg is just... It's kind of cool because it forces your opponent to really have to play around it, too. And I think that's... I mean, any card that kind of changes that type of dynamic to... even just to decks that a lot of people have been playing... a lot, you know, just in the metagame, I think is really cool. And, you know, Nerubian Egg, when played in Zoo and stuff, you can't just, like, straight up remove the board and that's no big deal, right? You have to actually maybe set up, pop the egg, and then remove it and, you know, that sort of bit. So Nerubian Egg is definitely a cool card. Let's see. GTFO Nerds ask, actually, it's the same type of question. Phil EH10 asks, who is the best hero class to beat the heroic challenges? I guess he's asking this quarter? Must be like
maybe
this
for
quarter.
All quarters, but I think you guys know what my answer is.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's easy for Amaz since he's doing everything.
Priest is the druid. No, I mean, no. Priest is like, there's just so many weird tools that Priest has that you just win. Like, how I one-shot Resuvius is because I thought steal his weapon and just went in for it, you know?
Damages. Yeah,
like, that's it. Like, it's just because of all these weird tools that Priest has. It's just, I think it's the best to solve any puzzles, really.
Mind visions, thought steals, all that good stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think the same kind of thing. What about you, Trump?
It's true. Like, overall, there are, in order to beat the challenges, you usually have to have a pretty extreme deck. So, some examples of extreme decks would be like a Freeze Mage, which runs very, very few minions and then plays the Alexstrasza, which happens to be good because it reduces their health down to 15 and then you burn them. It's like your go-to for quite a few of them. Priest tends to be good because of all the stuff you can do. Sometimes you can steal their stuff, which happens to be really good since oftentimes the bosses will use unfair things.
Right.
And then otherwise, it's just there are a lot of different choices, like against Lothab last week, I brought a Wisp Sap deck, and that happened to be best.
Wow.
Or, I mean, there are a lot of different ways to approach it. So just take advantage of the boss. Like, the most precise answer is there is no best, and you just build a deck to defeat the boss, and you sometimes have to really hand-tailor it. Mm-hmm. But for those that are... Like, if you're looking for one answer, which is generally good, Priest is pretty good, Freeze Mage is pretty good.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Oh, actually, I have something to add to that. I don't know why that made me think of something, but right now there are a lot of people, and there are a lot of, like, people writing articles about how Nasramis is not fun because the AI is programmed in a way to use unfair or overpowered cards when they are themselves mislethals or, like, do stupid stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
But... The counter argument to that is like, I'm not treating them as like a real person because AI is not a real person, right? So I treat each of these individual boss fights like a puzzle, and if I say it like that, and there's not like unfair of anything, it's just like a puzzle that you have to figure out. I'm sure that mm-hmm. you can craft a deck which can beat the boss like 80% of the time or something like that. So yeah.
Yeah, that's the intention of them, right? Their intention are for them to be like puzzles. For multiple reasons. I think I mentioned it last week that it would take too long to write an actual, a very good AI, probably longer than we would want when, you know, for this expansion to come out, to actually write a very, very good AI from that standpoint.
Oh. Did you guys see the Shaman AI on the ladder? There was a Shaman bot, apparently, that is in the ladder, and it was really good.
Oh, was
it? Did you guys see this?
Trump, no,
did you
get, I didn't see it.
Did you play against the Shaman?
Yeah, I've seen a few streamers run into it, and I myself believe I have run into it.
What's his name?
Very impressive. I don't know the names. I should remember this, but I just, like, wow, that's a really impressive bot. Like, you never see them hover over cards, so that's, like, hit number one. You actually have to hover over a card to play it, right? I think that's how Hearthstone's built.
Yeah.
But they never cover cards. It just plays cards, and it's always the same delay. I mean, yeah, dude, Blizzard should just hire that guy and get him to make the AI. It was really impressive.
Speaking of bots, what do you guys think of that? There's just so many bots running it on the ladder right now. There was, like, one night where I felt like I played 5 or 6 straight bots or something like that on the ladder, and it was just like, what is this, man? what do you think, Trump?
I think the popularity of bots is widespread. I mean, it's overblown. Like, part of the problem in Hearthstone is you don't actually see your opponent and you can't talk to them, so it's easy to just, oh, that's a bot. But, like, you can never really tell unless it's blatantly obvious. And the only way where it's, I think, blatantly obvious is those situations where they have a lot of memes on board and then they attack and then they take
slow.
2 seconds exactly or 3 seconds exactly and then they attack with the other guy and then they attack with the that one. Other than that, I think it's, I think bots are not very popular and, like, easily less than 1%, perhaps. Mm-hmm. So,
most people...
I had always thought that it would be near impossible for a bot to be able to make it to legend. I mean, it's not impossible since you play enough games as a bot, you'll get there eventually, but, to be able to plan around things and, like, so many different scenarios, be able to get there. But apparently they're getting there. Is that right?
Yeah. They save Doomhammer with their 2 charges, for example. You know, they know when to trade and whatnot, when to face. That's really crazy.
Shaman's not an easy deck. I mean,
and Shaman, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
Shaman's not an easy one to write for, too.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, much easier?
Right. It's just like...
Just use Soulfire and win the game, right? That's, like, the only line you need to put in. And... Wow, yeah, it's really impressive with Shaman.
Yeah, and most of the bots, I think people have talked about, right? They're mostly run just to get the golden classes, I believe, right? More so than anything else. Yeah, I think they're just trying to log wins, just as many wins as they can get, just to get all their classes golden. At least that's what I've heard. Mm. Let's see, what's next? Okay, Brandon Spikes. What raid from WoW would you like to see as an adventure? I think Ulduar. Or is that Ulduar or Ulduar would be amazing?
Well, first thing that pops to mind too for me. Yep.
Okay. Trump, what about you?
I mean, I'm going to shrug and say, I like all of them. Naxxramas happens to be one of them that I happen to like the most because it was the toughest one in vanilla, and that was where I probably spent most of my time. Yeah, Ulduar is a good one.
All right, Joe Mama asks, do you think using Reincarnate and Baron Rivendare in a Shaman to combo with Fugin and Stalag would be viable on ladder? Wow. How does Reincarnate work there? I guess just killing... I guess if you have both of them on the board, I guess. Oh. Uh-oh. Mods, can't hear you. Trump, you there?
Yeah, Moz.
Okay. Yeah, Moz. We just lost the Moz there.
Poor Moz. Anyways, the way it works is if you have one dead already, and then you play the other, and you reincarnate a second one, they don't have to both be on the same board.
Right.
It's as if it died. So you get a Thaddeus, and then you get it again. And if it dies, then you get it again. So one of
people were
trying on the class challenge is someone, I forget who, did a challenge where you have to try to get Thaddeus before you kill the boss. And this is a fun little challenge.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I think I only got a Stalag in the challenge. I never ended up getting the Fugin when I did it.
Right. I know someone managed to get, like, 3 Thaddeuses in that challenge.
Oh, my God.
Obviously,
awesome.
You have to slow roll the bot in Super BM, but it's kind of a cool challenge.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Well, I'm waiting for a Moz. Hopefully he'll be back here soon. I think his Skype or whatever got cut off there. But in the meantime, we got some more questions. We'll find some more here.
QQ apparently Amaz did the challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to say Amaz, but I wasn't 100% sure. And he would have chimed in. So I was like, oh, it was me. But he wasn't here.
Yeah. Let's see. Crockford Jack asks, will Zoo be tier 0 after Zombie Chow is released? Okay, let me fix the windows here. The windows are all messed up. I guess the question is how strong... Okay, hold on. Let me get Amaz back on here. He's apparently okay.
Whoa.
What?
Hello? Awesome.
Oh, yeah, I know. You're like the double. You're like spanning both windows. There we go. We just lost you there for a second. Kind of weird.
That was weird. I got kicked out of the conversation.
Yeah, it was like mid-convo. It's like you were talking, and then we couldn't hear you, and then you were gone. That's kind of weird.
Oh, that's sad. Did Trump cover what I was going to say already?
Well, apparently you were the one who did it, right? You were the one who did multiple Thaddeuses, right? Is that or
wait, what?
Wait, no, with the Fugan and the Sally? Is that what you said, Trump? That he was the one that did it?
Or? No, the Amaz challenge. Get Thaddeus before.
Oh, the Amaz challenge.
Yeah. I was saying that Fugan and Stalag, the death rattles don't work as people think they do, because if you silence the first one and the second one dies, you still get it, right? If you silence the second one, you don't get it. But if, for example, your 4-7 dies and your opponent has a 7-4, it still activates. So then it's like, I think people are getting confused over the fact. And for example, if you have both of those out, right? And you have a Baron Riven there, and somehow someone is Twisting Nether or something, you only get one copy of it, right? So, I don't know. Like, there's just a lot of misconceptions about the combo.
Yeah, and the best way to best way to clear those misconceptions is just to do it. Try it out, right?
I was wondering, suppose you played it in a different order and then the Twisting Nether happened. Maybe you would get two copies.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
No, because the first one needs to die before the second one dies, right? Like, yeah.
Like, what if you played both before Baron Riven there, though?
No, because, like, the thing is, the death rattles trigger when they die, right? So the game goes like, okay, they all died, and now the death rattles trigger, right? The first one doesn't trigger because there's nothing dies yet, but the second one does trigger because something died already, so yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, Noobberry, this might be trolling, but I'm not sure if it is or not. You tell me. When is Amaz's male fashion blog coming up?
Yeah, he asked me that like every stream.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I can do a fashion blog because there's not much to say. Because I mean, my definition, fashion is whatever the heck you want to wear. Or whatever the heck that you don't want to wear, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's fashion.
Okay, real quick. Real quick, this is kind of like the big news yesterday or last 24 hours. What do you guys think about the new Twitch music changes? I know both of you guys don't run music for the most part on your streams, so it probably doesn't affect you much, but general thoughts on it? Trump?
Okay, so this is something which got a lot of people riled up, so I have to tread carefully when I answer this. So I understand that it's a big bummer that, and a lot of people who... Things coming through someone.
Is that you, Amaz? Yeah, Amaz, I think I hear through speaker.
Wait.
Alright.
Okay.
So, anyways, obviously people are really upset that some things that should not be muted in 30-minute chunks, such as most notable examples have been the Dota International, which has run like which was blocked because it ran Valve Music, which of course is the company running the game and the big tournament. Some of Twitch's own stuff was silenced off because they had a bit of music which they may have gotten permission to use already. Basically, a robot system is not perfect, and given how many VODs there are, then of course it's going to have false positives. And that sucks when that happens. And Total Biscuit, by the way, before the show started today, I watched his explanation. I think he gave a pretty good explanation of what's going on. It was in, let's see.
I can link it. It's the SoundCloud one, right? Yeah, here it is.
Yeah.
Or it's he actually did a YouTube video. It's the content patch one. Here you go. I just linked it.
Yes, that's right. It's 30 minutes, but the gist of it is he believes that the changes are happening perhaps due to a preventative measure to make sure they don't get hit by bigger things in the future. So it's like they're doing something now which is like people will find bad / distasteful / inconvenient, but this might protect something worse from happening down the line. And I mean, like Total Biscuit said, just running running music that you don't have permission to run on your stream is something that has gone on for a very long time, which doesn't make sense as being allowable, and for a long time it was just overlooked, and it still is. It's only affecting the VODs of it. So that's a long-winded answer of saying it happened.
It happened. Two words there. All right, two-word summary. Oh God, Amos is. Well, I think Amos, you're muted again. Hello. Oh, still muted. Wasn't sure we were losing him again, but I don't think we lost him. He just lost sound. Okay, I think I hear you now. Nope, still don't hear him. We'll have him rejoin real quick.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Yeah, I don't know what happened to sound there.
Wow, that sucks. Wait, where was I? Oh, yeah. Didn't this happen before when there was a new YouTube policy where people can't put videos of their games or something like that? Didn't that happen? So, something
about. Well, YouTube had a different, they had a change, earlier this year that caused a lot of Content ID just to pop up for.
Yeah, to just stop, right? And then they can't, stream other games. And I kind of compare it to that, where, as a game designer or, a music artist or whatnot, why would you want to do that, for example? I don't really understand. Because the thing is, with streaming, they kind of is a platform to make your content more popular, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see YouTube Let's Players, of course PewDiePie, and making games really, really popular. And it seems like it's really weird for music artists to want that. I mean, I think it's more based on the companies and more higher ups and stuff like that. But if I were to compose a song, I would want my things to be out there and people go oh, this guy's pretty good, or maybe I'll go to his concert or something, you know. That's from what I know, from my limited knowledge, I think artists earn more from concerts and whatnot rather than just releasing a single or something like that. So a thought would be if I were to make something, I would let people use it. And I think this is going to happen in the future. For example, Blizzard says, fair use of Blizzard content. You can, host Blizzard games when you're doing your own commentary and with, no backlash and whatnot. Just as long as the content is, not a subscription kind of mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the first thing I've thought of when I saw that.
Yeah.
Not that it really applies to me, right? My channel is, obviously music-free, but that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people on both sides of the fence, and I mean, yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, I think a lot of artists make most of their money, touring and that sort of bit, and it's really the record labels, right, that care a lot about.
It's more the for the higher ups.
Yeah, yeah, it's
I guess it's generally better for there to be clause for that to prevent more trouble and whatnot. But,
yeah,
it affects more people than that affects a bit of people, but not all the people. So
yeah. When it comes down to it, it is copyrighted, material, and like Trump said, definitely watch that Total Biscuit. He does a good job of summing it up, but yeah, in the end of it, it's like, we probably shouldn't be using this stuff. It's just, I think a lot of questions have popped up. They're going to have a Q&A later, or an AMA later tonight, probably in about, I think it's at 7:30 Pacific, or it might be a little bit later. You look on one of the subreddits, they pretty much tell you when the AMA is going to be, if Twitch is going to have an AMA.
Oh, I thought it was happening like right now.
Is it happening right now? Let me see. Maybe
there's
it is.
Twitch CEO, Emmett Shear, asked me.
Oh, it's actually 10:30 Pacific, so yeah, so it's at 1:30. Yeah, so you can give your feedback there, maybe ask your questions there, but... yeah, I mean, the main thing with the whole thing is that, yeah, sure, you know, I think there's been some question of whether we're going to start seeing Content ID for just live streams, right? This is only VODs right now, and, you know, I think there's been some questions whether that's going to happen in the future, but so not sure about that. And also, I think some people have been just... let's see. What's the best way to say the Content ID stuff here? I mean, so with the way to implement it for a Content ID, you know, some people were saying that the 30-second delay might actually be, you know, like a setup for maybe doing it eventually for live, but I actually don't think so. Like with the delay for your streams right now, is it very long for you guys? It's like 10-15 seconds for me right now. Is it like 30 seconds for you guys on your stream right now?
It's instant for me.
Oh, is it instant? Okay, I still have like a slight delay, but yeah. So I mean, there's some conspiracy theories coming out with that, and I don't.
No,
think
it's
that...
not instant. It's like 15 to 30 seconds.
It is 15 to 30.
Yeah, like okay. With instant, like you didn't set a delay yourself, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so I mean, some conspiracy theories about that, but I don't know if that's true or not. You know,
I mean, about the music thing. While we've got the while I have the AMA up, yeah. I will just give the direct answer from. Nice. CEO Emmett Shear of Twitch, okay. He says, why Twitch has done this music thing. Because we care about you and your viewers, and we want every broadcaster on Twitch to be protected from potential liability, no matter how remote you might feel the issue is, we aren't willing to run the risk someone's life gets ruined over this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's possible. I can see that. I can understand that. Say a big music record company sues you for playing their music. Like, perhaps they even have the grounds to do so.
Yeah.
And they sue you for, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, maybe that's remote of a possibility, like it's mentioned, but I think it's possible. So, take a preventative measure. That's okay, in order to prevent something worse from happening.
Yeah. And again, the question is whether it's, like, is it just the VODs? I mean, is it only going to be just the VODs in the future? Because the VODs... I think affected a lot of people, and but you know a lot of people just don't really care about their VODs either, right? Like for the I don't know, some people just don't make highlights from their VODs and that sort of bit. So it's not incredibly bad for some folks, but if it was like live, you know, the live stream, then it might be, you know, a lot more difficult for folks. At least the folks that like to listen to music. I know a lot of people just like to listen to music when they play games. You know what I mean? So. Might have to figure out a different way just to even do that without broadcasting it. Mm. So there's going to be a lot of changes. We'll see. There's been a lot of like people talking about leaving Twitch and that sort of bit too. But you know that can be good. That can be good just for overall, just for the streaming, just the streaming, you know, industry in general, just gaming industry, just to have more folks being competitors for Twitch. But I think in the end, I mean, Twitch is just has such a user base, like a huge user base. I just can't see a lot of people wanting to leave because of that. Okay, so let's see. What?
Nothing. Like, I don't know. I just think that it's like another problem, right? Like, people like to cause problems, so you need to find a solution to the problem. That's what I think. Like, speaking very general sense.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Like, I think it's untrue that when you look at a player's when you look at someone streaming, that music is their main content, right?
Yeah.
So based on that, I would say that it's people try to cause troubles, so you just need to find a solution around that.
Oh, you mean just people complaining about it? I guess.
No, as in like people who are making this like a problem.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like, they're problem makers, so we as people we have to like just. Find a solution to deal.
So royalty-free music, guys, or just don't play music, right? Just one or the other is the best solution. And these two guys right here don't. I mean, they don't play much music on their stream, anyways, or if any music, right? All right, maybe
yeah,
one.
And also, I mean, just a final word on it.
Okay, final word. All right, sure.
It has been said, and chat's said it a lot. Let's see. We have absolutely no intention of running any audio recognition against live video, period. So if you want to still run that's music, good. That's fine. The VOD section of Twitch is admittedly not that popular. Like, you don't usually watch it for the live part. And yes, some people do watch VODs, and there's still a few thousand people who will do so every time, and they'll be slightly annoyed, but you can always not run music, or you can run music on the public domain, of which Twitch has provided a few links to, like, artists which have just given complete, like, permission to use on your stream.
You know, one thing I wish they would have done, though, at least, I wish they would have given a little bit more notice, because there are a lot of people who... Like, I know some people, for instance, that they kind of use their VODs or their past broadcasts as kind of like a, I don't know, kind of like memories, you know what I mean? Like, there's a few of them that they'll always go back to and that sort of bit. It would have been nice to have gotten a little bit more notice so people could export to wherever they wanted to export if necessary, instead of, you know, just having it like that. I think you can still export it, actually, by the way, with the sound, I believe, with the audio. I think, or there are some ways to do it, apparently. So if you need to do that, I think you can still do that. Because I think the filter is actually not on the source itself. It's actually, you know, something that happens between the, you know, when the actual data is coming from Twitch to you, right? The filter happens somewhere in there. So if you guys need to do that, you can get, you know, you can still figure out ways of doing that, exporting to, like, YouTube or wherever you want to do it. All right, how about one or two more questions after that, and then we'll call it a day.
That was a long question.
Yeah, that was a long question. And we could probably talk about it for, like, another half hour, quite honestly. No, but...
I think we should just... I should have just answered Hearthstone soundtrack and just the next question, you know?
They wouldn't have been satisfied with that, man. They definitely wouldn't have been satisfied.
I mean, in terms of Hearthstone, that's a good answer for the Hearthstone streamer in specific, but, yeah. Like, it's a way... It's, like, way over our heads, this entire thing.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Way larger than us, I should say, instead.
Mm-hmm. All right, Strelzik, actually a buddy of mine who is a really good player, and he also hosted the Fireside with me last weekend. He has a question for both the mods and Trump. What are your thoughts of Kodo Naturalize in Druid now that Deathlord is popular? I guess, what do you think of either of those cards?
Oh, either of those cards.
Yeah.
Like, did they combo or something?
I know, I was like, I don't think they combo. No, no.
All right, Trump, go ahead.
Okay, I don't think Deathlord is popular. So I think Kodo Naturalize is a bad idea.
That was fast.
Okay.
I don't think Naturalize, I mean, if you're playing it, it's not because it's Deathlord, right? You're playing Naturalize because of Naturalize.
Yeah.
So... Naturalize is actually a really good card. I think it's a very underrated card, especially when you need to kill your opponent. You know, you can just get through taunts with Naturalize. You can even silence a high main and then Naturalize it. Like, Druids just are very weak on removal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think Naturalize should be played more.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like you said, that's one of the weaknesses. When you do, that's why Druids will run BGH, right, just to help out a little bit with just giant targets. But Naturalize is the answer for big targets with a penalty there. What do you think about mill decks, actually? Have you guys, the viability of mill decks? I mean, some people have been talking about it here and there recently.
Oh, man. Like, I tried one, and I don't know. It didn't really work, because at the same time, you're kind of milling yourself. Because Oracle is, like, has to be there, right?
Yeah.
And they either remove their stuff, and then you have to have draw power as well, otherwise you run out of stuff to remove their stuff because they're drawing more stuff. So I'm not really sure it's going to work too much. Like, not like a super mill deck, at least not currently.
Right.
Mill deck right now seems more like if you want to win in style as opposed to if you want to win.
That's true. There have been viable mill decks, though, in Magic, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not a Magic pro. There should be, yeah. Like, you get... I have a couple of friends who are, like, Magic pros, and they were like, oh, apparently you can get infinite health, because there's no max health cap in Magic. So, apparently that's a good option, you know, if you want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and in Magic, there are specific cards, like... put the top half of your opponent's library into the graveyard, and like put the top 10 cards of your opponent's deck into the graveyard. So in Magic, like a mill strategy, there's a card called Millstone, which is probably where mill even
comes from. Yeah,
comes from, or maybe the card developed from that. I don't know, but it's basically continuous mill where you just keep putting cards from the top of your opponent's deck onto the graveyard. So a strategy that was in that deck, and also in that game, when you run out of cards in your library, you just lose. So
That's true.
Different game.
Yeah.
In this game, mill is not a focal point.
Okay, let's see. Oh, here we go. Amaz from The Graphics Kid. Does Amaz think there will ever be a solid replacement for injured Blade Master and Priest? Anything currently in the game?
Dark Cultist, yeah. Dark Cultist is a solid replacement.
Okay.
Injured Blade Master is definitely not, like, a really important card. Because the thing is, if you play a turn 3, it's only 3 health. It's like a Grizzly, right? So nobody plays Grizzly. And because Grizzly sucks. So it's not like super important. I mean, my first Priest deck I made included Watchers and everything, and it was okay. So I don't think that the Blade Master is important. The thing is, I'm including Blade Master because I run Arcanized Circle. And it so happens that Circle is good with Blade Master. It's not the other way around where I run Blade Master. It's not that. It's because I want that Flame Strike for 4. So then Blade Master is like, oh, okay, sometimes I don't need a Flame Strike. Like, why would I need a Flame Strike against certain classes? So, like, against Druids, right? You really need a Flame Strike a lot. So Blade Master is just... I wouldn't rate it very highly. But because I run Circle, then why not?
Okay, M. Makovicki asks, with a ton of Death Rattle cards floating around, is Mask Dispel becoming a viable card in Priest deck? No, look at both of them. No.
I will say, though, that Tides of Time brought a Priest deck with one copy of Mask Dispel into some tournament. So, I mean, one copy could be have some amount of merit. That's all.
Mass Dispel, like, it doesn't work in a normal deck because, in my opinion, you pay 4 mana to do nothing. That's what it says. You pay 4 mana, you do nothing. Because you draw your card back, you might as well add another card to begin with. And you're not affecting any stats on the board, right? You're just affecting future stuff, which is not... You need to solve the board every turn, like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, like, a time limit. I actually found out why Mass Dispel is in the game, like, a few weeks ago. It's because of Divine Spirit and Inner Fire combos. So, for example, you have a Tiger, and you buff it to a lot of attack, and they play a million taunts, boom, you play Mask Dispel. So, yeah. I think that's why it's in the game.
To deal with stealth, I guess? I mean, that particular case.
To use the Divine Spirit Inner Fire combo. Yeah. No, not to deal with... Like, you have the thing.
Oh,
and then you have a million taunts.
Oh, they have a million taunts. Gotcha. I was like...
Okay, that's why it's in the game. So I think that's the reason that's why it's in the game.
Got it. Okay. Wow, that's the only reason
it's also there to counter Soul of the Forest. No, but it is Mask Dispel.
Oh,
so if your opponent has a lot of Death Rattles, like, that card actually can get value at times. And at worst, you do 4 mana to do nothing, and you basically replace your card. It's like, I could be convinced to run a copy, but it would take a lot of convincing.
Wait, what about, like, the shaman, the crazy-looking shaman, you know, like, that we've been talking about, right, with the Rivendare and just the barons and that sort of bit? Maybe you could get enough value in that scenario, but that's still reaching, probably.
Yeah, Silence for 0, the card Silence for 0 is way better.
It's better, yeah, just a single, because most of the time you're just going to want to silence a single target anyways in those scenarios. Yeah, I think so. But we're going to see one more... We are going to see a silence minion in Naxx at some point, right? There is one minion that has silence, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we should be seeing that. That'd be nice. It would be nice to see more at least single minion type of silences in Hearthstone right now. Because, I don't know, Spellbreaker and Owl still aren't, like, the greatest options, I think, whenever trying to consider silences right now, putting it into a deck. All right, I think that's going to be about it. I think that's going to be it for questions. There's a lot more questions, but you know, I think we're going to call it for the day. So we're going to wrap up. And any last thoughts, I guess, from you guys, Amaz? Anything on, I guess, Naxxramas?
looking forward to week four so much. Man, I think we're just all waiting for this week. Like, everything's going to change for week four. And then, I'm just going to be happy. It's going to be really excited. Because right now, I don't even know if the decks are going to be relevant after week four is out. So,
yeah, I'd agree with that. Trump?
Let's talk about nachos. Amaz, I hear you're casting a nacho thing. What is that?
Nacho? What?
So it's the North American College.
Something like that.
It's going to be in Seattle. It's 31st, I believe. That's what I'm flying there, at least. And me and Rios is going to be casting that. It's going to be super fun, I guess. And there's a $5,000 scholarship for the first prize winner, I believe.
Yeah.
I might be wrong with this, but yeah.
It's the tournament or whatever hosted by Tesla.
Yeah,
definitely great. If you're a college student, definitely sign up for that. It's free to sign up for.
So. Oh, yeah, by the way, today is the last day to sign up. You have until midnight, my time, so you have 11 hours, basically. So go sign up, get that college money,
Free money. Free money by playing Hearthstone. I mean, you're not gonna beat that.
Goes well with cheese and jalapenos.
That too. Anything else? Oh, you have the VGVN tournament actually coming up this weekend too, right?
Oh yeah, it's a Liquid Open. Mm-hmm. It's sponsored by VGVN, so I think it's like the first hit off in liquidhearth.com. So if you just go to liquidhearth.com, you can probably find it. And there are people like I'm at a loss of things. No, there are people like me, Raynad, Savish, who else is there? RDU is joining. So
I think it's six players and then two qualifiers from the TL Open.
Two qualifiers are 6-0 and Lucky, which is pretty cool. They're like pretty good. They're really good players, and a lot of people probably know them. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So look, check that out this weekend. It'll be great. What stream is that going to be on? Actually, do we know?
Idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure what stream that's going to be on. I don't think does TL have like a team stream. I don't even know if they do, actually, but check it out. I'm sure it'll be on Reddit, and you can find that event for sure. Let's do some shout outs, thank yous, and we can wrap up the show. Amaz, you want to do some shout outs?
Oh yeah, sure. Shout outs to you guys, thank you for inviting me to the show. Thanks to my team, of course, Team Liquid. I also recently they recently released a guide on my druid, which is actually pre-Nax, but I put in some Nax cards in there, so if you guys check out in liquidhearth.com. That'll be cool. And that's about it. I can't really think of anybody. Shout out to Blizzard, by the way. I haven't shouted to Blizzard for a long time, but yeah, Blizzard just makes it a good game.
Making such a great game. Yeah, Trump?
Shout out to Amaz for just kind of pioneering and being the big guy for Priest. I'm really enjoying playing Priest right now. Makes me feel like a... what is it called? Evil Overlord all the time, when you pull off all those tricks and then like you do things that seem really unfair and you crush the opponent. That's very cool. Good job, Blizzard, on Nax. Apparently there's still big... there's like a 100... going off of memory, there's an expansion already being planned.
Yeah, planned.
Which has 100 or cards. I mean, no release date, obviously. I mean... I have no idea how long it'll take. Months, probably. Hopefully, the smaller amount of months. But,
Oh my god.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And we'll have those guys on here soon too. We were supposed to have them on last week, but they were on turn two. Or Ben was on turn two, which he gave some insight on that. And then we're going to follow up with some more questions on that. Apparently the next card release won't be like this, right? Won't be like Nexramus with the solo adventure type of thing. It's just going to be more of a straight card release. So that should be really cool. But anyways, I'm going to wrap things up. I would thank both you guys, obviously, for doing the show today. It's always a lot of fun. Of course, Trump every week, and Amaz, love having you on. Got to do it again soon. And, if you missed any of the show, you can find it on youtube.com/chamanv later on today. Probably soon after the show, I'll post it. Hopefully there's no audio meeting involved. There's no music in this, right? So it should be okay. And you can follow us all on Twitter, @chamanv, @liquidamaz, and @trumpsc. And that's going to be it, guys, for Valuetown. So for Trump, Amaz, and myself, Chan Manby, we will see you next week. Later.